Welcome to TSP Goes to the Movies. I'm Alex at TSP Pod. He's King at Jeromney. He is Ski at TSP Ski. Tweet at one of us if you want us to watch your movie, which is next week. Also join the Discord, Sports Brewery in the Discord, and you can let us know what our Dog Days of Summer themed movie should be for you guys. Ski apparently has a suggestion. He gave us that suggestion from a listener. I'm hoping you guys listening right now can give us a better suggestion than the one he has.
I don't think there's any. I don't think there's any beating this movie. So
yeah,
good luck.
Yeah, it's probably going to be that. But shoot us some suggestions so it at least makes it a competition. Please and thank you.
Come with your A game, then. Just say that.
We do our sports podcast every Wednesday or Thursday around 7:30. You can watch it live at twitch.tv/abrawg87. ABRAWG87. You can watch the replays of those, I guess is a word for it, on YouTube. Just search for the Sports Brewery on YouTube. I've been posting those on there too. So also on Instagram and Threads, the Sports Brewery Podcast on both of those things. Do it. Follow, like, or whatever. Also on Facebook still. Sure. Whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. So again, continuing the Dog Days of Summer theme, this week's movie is my movie. And so I went with the day part, and it is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It is currently on Netflix. It was released in 1986, which is a very long time ago, but still after we were born because we're old. It has an 82% on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.8 out of 10 on IMDb, a 61 on Metacritic. It stars Matthew Broderick as Ferris Bueller, Alan Ruck as Cameron, Mia Sara as Sloan, Jeffrey Jones as the principal Ed Rooney.
Jeff Jones.
I'm Jeff Jones. Jennifer Grey as Jeannie Bueller, Lyman Ward as the dad, and Cindy Pickett as the mom. Also some cameos by Charlie Sheen and Ben Stein and Del Close. Del Close, if you know anything about improv comedy, he's like the guy who created what improv comedy is, basically. So Ben Stein and Del Close were both teachers in the movie, obviously.
You're forgetting two other ones.
Go ahead.
There was Christy Swanson was in this. And you're forgetting the ultimate Edie McClung from Airborne fame.
I was going to bring her up because she is fantastic.
Yeah. Well, obviously, Airborne's the greatest move ever made. I already stated this. So,
yeah.
Makes sense.
Airborne. Remind me of Airborne. Because when I think of Airborne, I think of those little like tablets you drop in water and effervescent tablets. I think that's
what. How do you still not know what Airborne? I'm pretty sure I've. Like,
you bet, yes.
Multiple times of what the plot to Airborne is.
It's a kid from California who goes to Cincinnati and he shreds bro on the roller
shreds
blade.
The gnar.
He's all sorts of shredding gnar on blades. Yeah, and he and Edie McClung is his aunt who he goes and stays with.
The one
so
thing
she has that same accent she has in this. That's just what her accent is.
That's her voice, man. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just her voice.
The thing everybody, of course, knows her from Airborne. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
What are we even? Why are we even having this conversation?
It had the skater guy from Clueless in it. A great, great movie, cinema.
You like skater guys. I'm more of a skater boy, you know, just from it's our era, you know. So dumb.
He wasn't good enough for her.
That scene where she goes off the list about like the people who like Ferris or whatever is so funny. Like, yeah. All right. This movie written and directed by John Hughes. Have you ever heard of John Hughes? He was kind of a big deal.
Do you have a top three John Hughes of all time movies?
Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. That was one of his. Breakfast Club should probably be in the list. I don't know.
Yes, Breakfast Club's his best. Come on.
Okay.
Home Alone.
16 Candles.
16 Candles.
He did Weird Science and Uncle Buck as well.
Uncle Buck
is great.
One.
No.
Yeah.
The Breakfast Club is number one. Uncle Buck is up there. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles for the snobs is probably number one.
Uncle Uncle Buck came up with the surefire plan to not get cancer, and that was every 5 years he'd switch from smoking cigars and then heaters and then dipping. So he would just move it around so the cancer wouldn't get him. So
I think
that
it
was
worked.
his theory.
I think it worked well for John.
Well,
yeah, he was out running it, right? It's genius.
Cancer didn't get him though.
Fair enough. Did John Hughes do all the National Lampoon's Vacation movies?
There's no way he was involved in Vegas Vacation.
Well, okay, I mean, at a certain point, sure. But
did
like,
did he do Van
Christmas
Wilder?
Vacation? Christmas Vacation is the best vacation, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah, without
I mean,
question.
I like Vegas Vacation, but yeah, Christmas is the best.
Of course. It's the classic, man. It's the standard. This movie
also, on our podcast we did on Thursday, a top three redneck could have been
the brother.
Yeah.
Quaid.
Quaid, yeah. Quaid, Uncle, yeah, Eddie, yeah. Uncle Eddie.
Uncle Eddie. That was it. Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. See, he's more white trash than a redneck.
See, we're doing the ski.
Romantics, man. Yeah, yeah. You can be both ski. Jeez. So judgmental.
I'm just finding out there was an Uncle Buck TV series.
Who starred?
I don't know. Some guy I never heard of. Kevin Meaney.
Oh, Kevin Meaney. Means.
As we like to call him here.
Yeah, that's what we used to. Yeah, exactly.
He meant business.
God damn it. This movie was made on a $5 million budget.
That's crazy.
Which is crazy. Yep. I mean, well, I know it was the mid 80s, but that is low still.
So that must mean there's no way they got a real Ferrari California. That's what that means.
They sure as shit didn't drive one off the edge of a cliff. Yeah.
Because if they, I think that car might go for like
$5
million? $200 million, $200 million now.
Like back then? Yeah. Yeah.
Was there another Uncle Buck TV show?
Seen a separate Uncle Buck TV series?
Because what's coming up on my end is Mike Epps as Buck. Nia Long is in it. Big Sean is in it. Regina Hill is in it. Oscar Nunez is in it.
Jesus.
Whoa.
What is this, Uncle Buck?
Power pack.
Oh, this can't be real.
Yeah, is this like a fantasy, like, fan script?
I don't know.
And they're just putting all their favorite people.
2016, one season. Absolutely a real thing.
Oh, God.
Unreal.
Look at that, Peps right there.
That picture looks terrible, man. That picture makes the show look terrible. God damn. Oh, my God. That's bad.
Can we just talk about Uncle Buck instead of talking about this movie?
I mean, why not?
They do call Uncle Buck the 1989 titular character. Of John Candy. Yeah. That's great.
So good. Box office for this movie, they made $70.7 million.
A good return on your money.
John Hughes, baby. Yeah, you know, like to the budget, like to the point there wasn't anybody famous in this movie other than Sheen, I guess. But how big was Sheen in 86? Had Major League come out yet? And he,
no.
And, no
Platoon?
Platoon? That was going to be my next question. Yeah, yeah. So was he superstar bad boy at that point, 86? Like Young Guns or whatever, had that come out?
No. That was like early 90s, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So the Sheen wasn't demanding a huge contract for his small role in this movie. Like nobody was big yet. And so I guess $5 million budget, usually you're spending that on the actors. No.
I mean, I guess the biggest Jeffrey Jones might have been the biggest
at that point,
star
maybe
of this movie and at yeah. this time, yeah.
Because Jennifer Grey hadn't done like Dirty Dancing or anything yet, like yeah.
Alan Ruck was a fucking nobody.
Yep.
Mia Sarah still is kind of a nobody.
She was famous from this movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. So John Hughes said that this movie was because he wrote it. Was his love letter to Chicago is what he called it. And so essentially the story is, you know, Ferris Bueller faking sick to explore Chicago with his best friend and his girlfriend. And so they, you know, they literally were at the top of the Sears Tower, like leaning their head against the window.
Went to fucking Wrigley.
They went to Wrigley. They went to the Art Institute. They were in the parade, which shows, you know, the city. Harry Carey was broadcasting the game, which was cool. It was cool to hear his voice. But yeah, so the movie is about a kid faking sick.
All right. Give us your best fake Harry Carey.
Hey. Harry Carey here. Look at the
hey, kid everybody.
In the, look at the kid in the sombrero. That's the biggest hot dog I've ever seen. It's okay.
I mean, yeah, it's not bad. That's just like a Will Ferrell.
Yeah,
everyone does. Will Ferrell doing Harry Carey.
Yeah,
that's the move is made of cheese. Like, it's just what you do.
Hey Norm, yeah. If you were a hot dog, would you eat yourself? I would.
I'd
smother myself in ketchup and relish. It'd be delicious. it's still good. It's been a long time since I've seen that sketch. Yeah, but you know, like kid faking sick. You guys ever fake sick?
Of course.
You got any faking sick stories? I was just talking about this the other day because I used to do it. It was like a ritual for me. Before I was on varsity football, I played JV football. And we would play our games on Thursdays. And every Friday, I would fake sick because I was tired from playing football the night before and didn't want to go to school. And I like, there's no way my mom didn't know. Like, you know, we eventually started calling them mental health days or whatever. But it's like, yeah, it's like, oh, I don't feel good. I probably have a concussion or something. I don't know.
We didn't know what
concussions were back then. No way.
Concussion took you out for like a series. That's about all that concussion did for you.
That was a pretty regular thing for me, was faking sick to stay home and watch NFL films and wings. Yeah. And you know,
now that you say that, I did fake sick because you're just talking about it. I did fake sick my sophomore year on a Friday so I wouldn't have to go to Marshfield for football. and they weren't taking me because I was like amazing or anything. There was just such injury problems that
bodies.
Year
yeah.
That they needed bodies, and it was like a guarantee. And the next day, I won't name his name because we're not friends anymore, but I saw him at a college football game and he said it was the most miserable thing of his life. And he was so sore and he hated
it. I'm sure it was
it.
Raining.
And we
windy.
Probably lost like 55-4. Yeah. Like, yeah.
That field sucked to play on too, man. It was like, it's grass. And so you think like, oh, grass field. That's fun. That's good. But they didn't fucking cut the grass. It was awful, man. Like,
that was their advantage.
It surely was. Yep. Go to school in an insane asylum and don't take care of your field and have really good athletes somehow.
They're all longshoremen, man. They're strong as hell. Yeah,
that's fair.
They're fucking
pulling traps all day.
They're fighting big squids on a Sunday while you were watching 49ers on Fox.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
fair.
Like, come on.
That's fair. Playing with
I mean, they're pretty
turtles.
Much all Stallone from Rocky, just like cruising the docks, just
punching slabs of meat.
Yeah. Go out, you bail some traps, you come back, you slug some fucking big pieces of meat and you hit the fucking field. Day over.
Yep. What's your favorite piece of meat to beat, by the way?
Let's get into it.
I like a good brisket. Yeah.
Well, you can slap a brisket. You can slap a brisket in a pork butt. Yeah. Maybe it's a rock.
What a stupid question. So good.
I wish there was, you know, visual, because I said it with a straight face. I mean,
I know. I wish we were doing, yeah. You wish we were like Twitch. You are saying you wish we were doing a Twitch stream
yeah,
of this?
Sometimes, you know.
Interesting. Yeah. Mm. All right. Let's get back on Discord and do a Twitch stream, man. Let's go. Yeah, no. All right. This movie.
So here's my problem with this movie.
Okay.
From the start.
Get into
is
it.
That you have to believe that Matthew Broderick can be a cool person.
Yep.
He is the least cool person of any person in Hollywood. And his whole shtick in this movie is he's so cool that not only do people in his school, but random ruffians in jail like know about him.
They put they like get well Ferris on the board at Wrigley Field.
Yes.
Like, everybody in Chicago knows who Ferris Bueller is by the end of this movie.
So yeah. So you have to suspend your belief there. And then you also have to suspend your belief that Alan fucking Ruck is playing a high school. He was 30 years old.
He was so old.
And he's not a young 30-year-old to boot.
He was older in Ferris Bueller's Day Off than the guy who played Kanicki was in Grease. And Kanicki, yeah. Kanicki was old, man. He had a grandchild on the way.
Yeah, man. Absolutely right. You know when you really notice his age, too, is when they... Like when they're in the garage, like, cause that's when I really thought about it. Cause he was like, they were all walking towards the restaurant from the garage and he sort of did this turnaround thing and like looked back at the camera or whatever. And I was like, Jesus, like he looks 35 right now, man. Like we're supposed to believe he's a what, like 17 or 18?
18. Yeah. They're seniors, I'd assume. Yeah. So
absolutely not. Yeah. And by the way, like, I know we're not the first people to ever talk about this, but this movie is like a prototype for white rich privilege in our country.
Absolutely.
It is unbelievable. Their families, by the way, they're like mansions. Did you see when he pulled out the money to like to tip the toilet guy when they were in the restaurant? Yeah. The fucking wad of bills he had. Like, and he gets away with anything. Like, no kid gets away without all the bullshit that he did on his day.
No. And his whole complaint is, I didn't get a car. It's like, oh, you got probably like a $20,000 computer back then. You have all these other, you know, electronics that back then cost probably more than fucking Alan Ruck's car.
He's
the only one with a shitty car.
A sampler keyboard in like the mid 80s was like $5,000, I'm pretty sure.
Like a synthesizer in there too, right?
Yeah. He sampled things onto discs and played them through. Yeah. He had the best stereo system anybody had in the 80s. Like that wall of stereo that he had.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That is the most spoiled fucking person like in movie history. It's very possible. And like, cause everybody lets him get away with fucking everything. Like he is the worst best friend ever. Like he treats Cameron like pure dog shit. Like every step of the way, like towards the end, I guess he sort of comes around and helps.
You could argue that Thelma may have been worse to Louise, but
that's
point
fair.
Taken.
Thelma.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Touche.
But point taken.
He disrespects his friend on so many levels, like so many times in this movie. Like Cameron is like, dude, don't touch the car. Don't take the car. It's really important to my dad. Like, I really don't want you to take the car. He's like,
it's a $100,000 Ferrari.
It's a $100,000 Ferrari. He never drives it. He keeps track of the mileage. Like, please don't take the car. And he just is like, it'll be fine. Live a little. Fuck you, dude. Like, this is my life, man. Like,
go sell your fucking computer, buy a car, then we can drive out.
Don't use that wad of cash you have in your pocket to buy a beater. For fuck's sake, man. Who do you think you are?
And I get, like I said, this is fitting for, you know, they show all the rich, you know, upper middle class white America. Did you notice the only time you saw black people in this movie? They were all dancing together unison. That's pretty much the only time you saw black people in this.
Which by the way,
of Chicago of all places as well.
The scene where
Tucker, walk it back.
The scene where they go into the garage and he asks the guy if he speaks English. What makes him think that the guy doesn't speak English?
Because he's Italian.
Because he's racist.
Because that guy's Italian looking, so it means
he's
a little darker skin.
He's in Chicago and looks.
He's
Italian,
got a nice tan in the summer.
That's
a Chicago summer. Like,
you know, Chicago Italians, they don't speak English apparently. Like, the fuck is he asking that question for?
No, so Ferris Bueller's the other an black asshole, guy,
and he's racist. There, we're off to a good start.
The other
start.
Black guy was the guy joyriding in the Ferrari with that guy from the parking garage.
The other black person in this movie?
The other black person in this movie, yes.
Uh-huh. They didn't have any in their school.
No, they did not.
No, they did not.
Well, they're also getting taught, like, college-level economics in it for some reason.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. Ay, ay, ay. Ben Stein, I hadn't thought about in a while.
You don't want to know about Ben Stein right now, so that's good.
Pretty much a good reason for that, yeah.
Yeah, him and Christy Swanson in this movie.
Oh.
You see where their fucking careers have taken us.
Oh, poor Christy Swanson, man.
I mean, I'm in love with Christy. All through the 90s, Christy Swanson, the queen of the 90s.
What was her movie with Charlie Sheen?
Chase. Which is fantastic. Yeah,
I couldn't quite put my finger on that name.
Buffy, you know, she's too big in the early mid-90s.
She was.
Yeah, but, ooh, God, nowadays. Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
It does happen. It does happen.
Ooh. I can fix it.
I think the most unrealistic thing in this movie is the fact that a teacher or principal would give any fucks about one of their students, like would care at all, would put any effort into.
And I don't even think he was that. What was he like? The dean of students? It sounds like the most fake, rich private school title you could have.
Yeah, they're too good to call him a principal. They call him the dean of students. Yeah. Like he tried so hard, and he actually cared about enforcing rules. Like, that's not how it works. That's never been how it works. I mean, I guess sometimes you have some asshole teachers or whatever who will try to make points or whatever, but leaving the school, making phone calls, that's too much.
Breaking into houses of
breaking
students.
And entering. That, I mean, come on. I know it's a movie, but you know, teachers don't care about kids that much, man.
I don't know. Did you ever see Dangerous Minds?
Touche, man. You ever see Coach Carter?
Did you ever see The Substitute?
No. I guess there have been a few movies made about
there's
this
a few out there.
Thing, huh?
Coach Carter. I love that we're talking more about other movies.
That's sort of the thing, though. It's like everybody knows about this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's watched this movie. They know what it's about. There are the classic scenes in this movie where, you know, the running through the yard at the end.
Did they invent that? Is because that's been a trope in many of other movies.
Yeah.
Was this probably
jumping
the first movie?
Here's another thing. Did they invent the post credit scene?
Hmm.
Because he comes out at the end and is like, why are you still here? Like, which, by the way, Deadpool completely copied. Like the end of Deadpool, their after credits where like Ryan Reynolds comes out and he's like, why are you still here? Oh, come back. By the way, we're going to have like Cable in the next one. It's going to be cool. He's like from the future or whatever. Yeah. Like it almost looked like the same hallway. I kind of want to look at Deadpool now just to see if that's the case, because I'm sure they did that on purpose. But
you'll never guess who the first movie on who invented the post credit scene is.
The post credit.
It was 1979.
Ooh. Was it Alien?
It was the Muppet movie.
Oh, let's go.
And they came back and said, go home, bye bye, go home, bye bye.
Jim Henson. Good shit. Muppets changing the world, man, as usual.
Go home.
Right, here's something. Hang on.
Which Muppet was that?
I think that was Kermit. I don't know. I was trying to think of a Muppet.
Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, I was like, I couldn't think of another Muppet.
Go
voice.
Home, Piggy. Yeah. Okay. All right. Sorry. Go ahead, Ski.
I'll say one thing. I didn't learn too much, you know, about some extras of this movie, but here's something I did learn. They were in talks about making a sequel to this movie. What would have been worse? This or Ferris Bueller as a rich, entitled college student doing these kind of shenanigans.
That would have been way worse.
College student still dating his high school girlfriend, too, by the way.
100%.
Yeah. Because remember, she was like
cheating on her, be my guess.
She was like a year younger than he was in this movie. So, yeah. I think Cameron and Sloane should have ended up together at the end of the movie. They had more of a connection.
God, he really went in after Cameron there of like the first chick he's gonna fuck is like gonna ruin him because that's like all he's gonna care
you act
about.
So you act very blue on these movie podcasts. I see where you're going. Please stop. We don't need to hear that he's the Sultan of Slit. Okay. Don't need to hear these Sultan things.
He's slamming Tang.
Yes. He doesn't need to go to Vegas to play the slots. Yeah, we get it.
Yeah, you can stay right in Chicago, man. They got lots of slots in Chicago. Yeah, Ski. Cut it out, man.
Pervert.
Jesus.
Go watch the Sound of Freedom, pervert.
Gross.
I'm not the one having Jeannie just make out with Sheen randomly in a police station. Blame John Hughes for this shit.
That was a very quick turn she made, by the way. Because, like, I mean, this random dude in a jail convinces her to not be mad at her brother all of a sudden and change her entire viewpoint on life.
Another fun fact here for you. Charlie Sheen, for this role, he said he stayed awake for 48 hours straight before shooting this scene. And that's how he had that look to him there.
I'm sure that was an artistic choice by Sheen to not sleep for 2 days. Yeah, I'm sure.
Did they make good meth and crank back in the 80s? What?
Well, crack was the thing in the 80s. I mean, that was the whole, that's what got Reagan 2 terms, I think. And trickle down economics, which, by the way,
of course.
Hey Ron, they just came out with the final verdict on your trickle down economics last week. Shit don't work. Don't yell at me. Yell at MIT. You can't.
Those fucking nerds.
I love you called.
You know, listen
Ron.
To those fucking nerds.
I love that you called him Ron. By the way, we've known for so long that it doesn't work. It is.
But they
nice.
Just came out with the verdict.
It is nice to have a study in 2023, though.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I think we need about 40 years of 40 data years. Before we can make a decision, you guys. I don't know.
Yeah. Nate Silver is somehow disputing it.
I gotta see the percentages.
I gotta see New Hampshire. Show me the data in New Hampshire.
Yeah. I gotta see the data before I can make it. Yeah, sorry, guys. I'll send it to my team. Nate Silver.
Nate Silver. Get over yourself, Nate.
Silver. That
came up with
guy.
One good like formula like 20 years ago. Do it again.
I remember he was so adamant that the numbers supported Hillary beating Trump. So adamant. Like, just the most confident guy. Look at these charts. Look at these stats. And then,
look at this model. This model says.
Yeah.
Do it in November, Nate. Correct.
It was so hilarious. Okay, so we got a few minutes left here. Before we grade it, any other final thoughts on Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Does it hold up? Because we all saw it a long time ago. Does it hold up?
I never loved it. In real time when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It is.
I don't think I picked up on the white affluent male privilege in like 1998, but it's definitely a theme.
In everything that John Hughes wrote, I mean like 16 Candles, seriously. Home Alone.
They're going to Europe around Christmas for 2 weeks. Like, even in the 90s, that's $40,000 for 14 people.
They had like a 7,000 square foot house in, like,
yes. Which, if you go down the rabbit hole, the dad didn't pay for. It was his wife's brother, I believe, that paid for the house and the vacation.
So, you know, Breakfast Club, pretty much along those lines. I mean, I guess they had the different, but, you know, pretty, yeah.
society, that motherfucker.
Society right. was definitely made for everybody who is in that detention room, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And John Hughes loved writing about him. Yeah, okay, so let's grade this thing then. It's my
What's
movie.
It out of this week?
It's my movie. I'm going to say 5.
5, okay.
Let's go 5.
That's yeah. fair.
So I got to go first. I'll go 3. Not terrible, not great. It's right in the middle. I mean, that's not in the middle of 5, but you know what I mean. 3.
This
good.
Guy graduated from college.
Later. Yeah. Yeah, right. show me the data on that, Silver.
Eat that, Nate Silver. I need a graph.
Half of 5 is 3. Dork.
I divided by 2.
Dork, check your algorithms.
I'll give it a 2.5.
Yeah. Which is, some would say, actually half of 5.
Some.
Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah, you're
Nate Silver,
so-called experts.
Call me Nate Gold. I'm so correct.
I love that I'm doing the fake glasses thing for you guys. Like, we're not on video, right?
Not
now.
A visual.
Nobody
medium,
else.
But...
Nobody else is seeing us yet.
All right. Well, I am going to give this a 5.
Whoa! Perfect score.
Wow!
Perfect score.
So we got Ferris Bueller. We got American.
Oh Ninja. Wait! I thought we were talking about Uncle Buck. Oh, all right. No,
this movie is, flip that pizza, baby.
This movie is a
that's
a, one
that's,
and
a that's a deep dish pizza flip, baby. Right? Let's go, Chicago style.
Matthew Broderick is the least cool person ever. Alan Ruck is 100 years old with it. This movie sucks.
What'd you give it?
1.5. 1.5. No, I actually do like Spin City.
Well, yeah, what's wrong with Spin City?
As you
your
do.
Face. Gotcha, baby.
And Succession now, too. The dude's had a great career.
Is Matthew he in Broderick Succession? With Simba. Come on.
Wow. Maybe he sucked at Simba, too.
Oh, you get out of here. You've never seen a better Simba in your life. Name a better adult
Inspector
Simba.
Gadget.
I mean, what a great role.
He is in that new movie I actually want to watch about, like, Big Pharma, I think it is, with I can't remember the name of the movie.
Oh,
but he
Spin City guy, Big Pharma guy. Yeah. This is a Joe Rogan guy, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see it. My third eye is wide open on this one.
Spin City, better when Sheen got on it or Michael J. Fox?
J. Fox. No
yeah, without question. Question. Yeah, it's not even a discussion, Ski. I appreciate the question, but.
Sheen was good. Sheen was good, though.
Yeah, Sheen was fine. He's always been good.
Yeah, Brian Shaw played in the NBA for a long time. Wasn't LeBron James.
No. Everybody's always saying it. I mean, that old cliche.
A very at the barbershop, people are always comparing Brian Shaw.
I mean, who doesn't?
That old
who amongst us